Let us begin in prayer. Jesus of the table, you gathered unexpected people around hearths of hospitality. You stretched out your hand for grapes and bread, for wine and welcome. May we populate our tables with all kinds of people, because at the table, our hearts can be glad for a while. Amen. We used to have great family dinners at my grandparents' house on my dad's side, so it was an amazing time because my dad came from a large family, 13 kids, give or take from time to time, and all the grandkids and associated, it was just amazing, a fantastic time. But one of the things that happened, and as a kid I was a little bit unaware of it, but we sort of figured it out looking back, was the men congregated in the living room, the women in the kitchen. Not sure where that started, and yet it's just the way it was. And very seldom did the two meet. The men were talking, drinking, smoking in those days, solving the problems of the world. The women were talking, drinking, smoking, cooking, solving the problems of the world and sorting out everybody's social life at the same time. Anyway, they were great gatherings, actually, and we ended up having wonderful meals and wonderful times together. But that business of just sort of where we gravitated to, it was something that was just what we were raised around. So here today in the gospel, we hear about a party, and it's an amazing party. And what kind of party do you actually throw for the man who raised you from the dead? You know, this is not your average occasion. So at the home of Lazarus, they're having this party. They're having it to honor Jesus, who just last week had raised Lazarus from the dead. So you can imagine the two sisters, Martha and Mary. They're both in awe and just you know, couldn't have had a more important occasion. And I visualize a little bit this sort of dichotomy of men in one area and women in another. And yet, so Martha was busy serving and doing what she did and doing it well, it sounds like. But in a great stride, a giant break from social norms, social tradition, Mary not only walks into the room where the men are, that's the first thing she did that would have shocked everybody and they would have gasped a little bit, but then she throws herself at the feet of Jesus, the guest of honor, and pulls out expensive perfume and starts to anoint with oil this guest of honor. Well, a few things to understand. One of them is that anointing in that day and age was really only used for two things. It was used to anoint the newly the new king, so at a coronation or an anointing would happen, and the other time that it would happen is in preparation for death. So you can see some foreshadowing here. There's a looking forward to the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus, in fact, and so the future of Jesus in the week to come or weeks to come. But also, it's a foreshadowing of the washing of the feet, where Jesus washed the feet of his servants and we were his disciples, I should say. He acted in the role of a servant, of the lowest one in the hierarchy of the gathering. And when you think about that love and the love that he actually expresses to his disciples, and it's comparable to what we hear of Mary doing on this day. So again, foreshadowing. And this intimate act of foot washing, foot anointing in this case, and again, this social norm breaking that Mary has done, tells us a few things. I think that it tells us that as we hear in Isaiah, a new thing is breaking in. The universe, as they knew it at that moment, their life, their world, their civilization, was being transformed and transfigured by love, by a saving love. And love finds love, so the two look for each other. And yet, this amazing pouring out of love that took place was, of course, misconstrued by some, which is so common in our world, misunderstanding or misconstruing important acts that take place. Now, I'm wondering about Lazarus. I suspect he's just kind of sitting there in a daze. He's the one that was raised from the dead. He's got to be looking at Jesus and just can't comprehend what's taken place. I'm sure he would have loved to have got alone with Jesus and had the question and answer period. You know, what actually happened there? How did that take place? And et cetera, et cetera. And would want to just get to know Jesus better, develop and deepen that relationship. Well, then this amazing party that's going so well comes off the rails. It gets disturbed. Somebody has to make a mess of the night. He's the one that when you're driving home, you'd say, oh boy, did he ever make a mess of that party? Of course, they weren't driving, but modern day comparison. So he speaks up, spoils the moment, condemns Mary for using the cost of this expensive perfume, approximately a year's wages in their time. Somebody last week that I was reading said about $20,000 in translating it into today's values. Whatever it was huge, and it was lavish, and it was seen as extravagant. And so Judas, in his great act of care and stewardship, in quotation marks, because we know that he was also a thief who lined his pockets, speaks out and says, you know, calls Mary out on this act and says, what about the poor? We could have given that money to the poor. And then we get this comment that again gets often misconstrued and sometimes sadly twists who Jesus is, this comment of, well, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but don't worry about the poor, they'll always be here. Mary's doing a good thing. Well, I think that it's fair to say, if you study all of Scripture, all of the New Testament, it's clear that Jesus cares about the poor. And in fact, I think his statement was more of a challenge, as in, you're always going to have the poor, never give up on the poor, never stop caring for the poor, never step aside from that responsibility. But this, too, is important, this act of love, this coming together, this building of relationship. So today in our society, we can look at this sort of Christological truth that Jesus was doing both and, not either or. It wasn't forget about the poor, do fancy worship. Not at all. He really wanted us to reach out to the poor, the homeless, the ragtag, whoever is needing it. And whether it's one of the challenges, I think, to us today, to the church today, is identification of the poor. It could be in our own family. It could be in our own parish family. It could be out and about in the community. It could be worldwide. Today, we think about a few things. One of them is Vimy Ridge, which I think it's Monday, Tuesday, April 9th. Do I have that right, Lynn? Where are you? Yeah. That we commemorate and remember the events of that day. And also today, we think and remember and commemorate that 25 years ago was the end of the genocide in Rwanda. It's shocking to know that that genocide is only 25 years old, and that within our lifetime that took place, and that 250,000 graves attest to that. And our own Canadian Romeo Dallaire had an active part in bringing that to a conclusion, and no small amount of opposition from the United Nations, from Canada, from the United States, from Belgium, from other countries that pushed back, and from within Rwanda. So who are the poor? We need to, I think, look at how we create systems that bring about the poor, how we perpetuate ideologies and or systems that create these scenarios where something like that genocide can take place, something like world wars can take place. How do we not repeat history? And that, I think, is the great challenge to us in the world, to us as Christians, and to us as ordinary citizens of our communities who sometimes take for granted the beautiful freedoms that we have. So Jesus revisits all of these systems, challenges us to do the same, and challenges us to be willing to speak out, willing to never forget the poor, and yet willing to pour out lavish love in our act of worship, in our deepening relationship with Jesus, and with our ongoing anointing of each other and of the poor among us, and being extremely sensitive to their needs and being willing to listen to them and being willing to trust that the former things are being changed and transformed, and that that vision for 25 years down the road is going to be different than today, hopefully in a whole lot of identifiable ways, and that there's a new way of loving and living, and that we quit separating men and women from rooms, and that we hear the strong voices of women in our world. And I think our Canadian political scene speaks to that. I think the time has come that we can't be in separate rooms and we can't have the old boys club taking care of things any longer. Times have changed, and they've changed for the better, and Jesus comes to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the fact that love will always overcome death, and that even his death was for a purpose. And as we walk through the next few weeks, starting with Palm Sunday through our journey down Holy Week, let us remember that, and let us hear the voices of those around us. So for this, and for our parish, and for all that takes place around us, we give thanks to God, and we trust that he walks with us on the journey today and always. Amen.